Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Welcome. We're glad you could join us today on Unapologetically Catholic. This is Susie Furtwängler, principal at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School here in Grand Rapids.
And Betsy Edgerton, development and outreach coordinator here in Grand Rapids as well.
We welcome you today. We're going to talk a little bit about one of our favorite topics, and that is community, specifically the Catholic community when it relates to schools. So we pulled up a little definition of community from Wikipedia and came up with this. A community is a social unit of any size that shares common values. And of course, that's certainly true of the Catholic community. I would say that community is a hallmark of Catholic schools and in a very unique way, unlike it would be in other kinds of schools.
I think that also I pulled up the second version on Wikipedia that I see here that complements exactly what you're saying, Susie, and that is true community is the process of deep respect, true listening of the needs of other people. And I want to focus a little bit on community. And I thought if we broke it down into groups today, if that would work for both of us. My focus, of course, is always those early childhood families, the 0 to 5-year-olds. And I want you to know that the process of learning to adopt behavior patterns of community, that's called socialization. The most fertile time for socialization is usually in the earliest stages of life, which is why I've always been such a proponent of early childhood and preschool opportunities. Because in the early stages of life, that is when individuals develop the skills and the knowledge, and they learn the roles necessary for them to function within their culture and their social environment. Some psychologists would say that the most important period of socialization is actually between the ages of 1 to 10, which we're obviously experts on, especially you,
right.
Because we go a little bit beyond that, as a matter of fact, at our school. But socialization includes moving into people moving through significantly different stages of their life.
Right.
So I thought today if we broke it down, and I talked a little bit at first about the 0 to 5, and then you, of course, have your expertise at the middle and junior high level.
Right.
So I want to say that one of the things that we believe in the Catholic community is a community, obviously. We don't have an open door, open or closed sign on our door. And at St. Thomas, which I can draw from experience, we have a 0 to 5-year-old program. One would think that that's just a wonderful opportunity for recruitment of those youngsters into our preschool program, but actually the train of thought was not necessarily that. The train of thought was some early childhood educators who saw mothers dropping little ones off, carrying newborn babies in their arms or still having not birthed that newborn baby yet, being pregnant. Some of them new in town, some of them new to the parish or to the actual classroom because it was their first one. And they kind of floundered, didn't know what to do. That little one that had become their focus over the last 3 or 4 years of their life was now in a classroom with their peers and was not at home at their beck and call. So we saw that need and said, how can we begin to build a community for the 0 to 5-year-olds? And obviously, it would be to engage the children. So we're kind of, if you don't mind my saying, killing two birds with one stone here, because we're getting those 0 to 5-year-old children for exactly what our explanation said. They're learning appropriate behavior. They're coming into lap times or community coffees or mommy and me gym times, and they are they're observing each other who are very similar to them, whether it be in age, behavior, whether being whatever their gender might be. It's just interesting that the children were benefiting on one level and the families were benefiting on another.
You know, Betsy, that's that definitely came from you saw the need in the hallway. You would often mention to me as at the end of a day how many times you saw parents standing outside your classroom. Even today, we'll see families, young families sitting outside in the hallway, you know, having lunch together. We've put some things out there strategically for them because we know that they like to gather, some chairs and some comfortable seating with some tables. And we've got some toys for their very youngest children. But how many of those parents, after dropping their child off for preschool, would actually gather together in the hallway and have wonderful conversations or make play dates together. But it was almost like they needed a place to gather. They needed a place, and you saw that need and developed that 0 to 5 programming based on the fact that they truly were demonstrating that they wanted to form community together.
Well, in our world, we have noticed as educators, and I'm sure many of our listeners have as well, our world has become one where individuals are looking basically at the world through a portal, whether mm-hmm. that is their internet service out of their home, their iPhone, their iPad, whatever, and our connect to other people has kind of gone by the wayside.
Right.
And we said, all of us, that at St. Thomas in particular, when individuals walk into a Catholic school, whether it's St. Thomas or any in the Kalamazoo or Grand Rapids diocese, they immediately pick up on something that's what they call very special.
Right.
And that's the same thing they say over and over again. Doesn't matter who they are, where they're coming from, if they've been there before or it's their first time, they talk about something special, and that's a community that we are talking about in our Catholic faith. And with the 0 to 5, that's what we saw. Those people, I want to come back into, they want to build a community and be a part of the Catholic education. And that's why they're choosing Catholic schools. So with that lap time, we're just introducing them at an early age. So their children, A, are benefiting from socialization purposes, but the moms or the dads or the caregivers that are coming are able to relate to a group of people going through the exact same experiences they are, whether it's first shots or up all night with a newborn baby, but they're going with it with your definition of community, going through it with people who understand because they can't come from the same faith.
Right.
And we say all the time, what would we do if we didn't have God as our ace in the hole, as our
buddy in our pocket?
Exactly. So I think that that's what we believe. And I'm very, very pleased that other schools in the Grand Rapids Diocese have begun this program, because it gives people a base, a home, a community. And once you lay that foundation, you can go through all the way through high school and even into college, because you've laid a foundation for a love of the Catholic faith, because you feel embraced and a part of something.
You know, another important thing that I think that community does for you, gives you faith and some trust in other people. When you mentioned about the portal that we as a society are looking through now, I agree. What a lonely world sometimes when all you have is your laptop or your computer, especially for some of our moms that perhaps were business people, have now chosen to have children and stay home. They don't get the social interaction that they had. It's very hard to develop trust in a place of any kind without having a relationship with them. So one of the beautiful things about the 0 to 5 programming that you've created at our school is that the parents not only trust us, but they trust each other. And as you know, it's a very much a village raising the children at St. Thomas, and I'm sure in every other Catholic school in the diocese and in the Kalamazoo diocese as well, we create these little communities of love built around faith and around God, but we build trust with our families. And I think our families, when they drop that little 3-year-old off for 3-year-old preschool on the first day, their child's already been going to our school conceivably 3 years.
Exactly.
See you later, mom and dad. They run up the stairs. I think if we see any tears at all, it's from mom feeling like it wasn't a big deal to her child and she was hoping for a few tears.
Right, exactly. And trust, just as you mentioned, trust builds ownership.
Yes.
When you trust the place where you have been visiting or where your child has been participating, you trust it, you claim it, you talk about it on the street, you want other people to know about it, because it for you is something bigger than just a building. It is the people you know, the people you love, people who love you, and again, people who all believe the same thing, and that is our Catholic faith. And we have said a couple of different times, Susie, this spring in particular, with your tours, people who come into the buildings say, wow, I didn't realize that I was missing out on this.
Right.
And once they realize that community is coming full circle and coming back and people are embracing each other and wanting to be a part of something bigger than themselves, then those people that visit our schools say, I want to be a part of this too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fascinating thing. Community really, truly can create its own by just a few people gathering, saying prayers, saying attending Mass, celebrating our faith in many different ways, whether it's on the front lawn of the school for a movie or whether it is in a basketball game in the gym or whether it's at a lap time on a Tuesday morning. People celebrate our faith in very different ways, but it comes back to we are a community of faith.
Right. I think another beautiful thing is how many of our parishioners will mention, hey, I read your bulletin article this week, or I read your newsletter article, and how surprised I am sometimes to think that our parishioners actually are interested in what's happening in the school, and specifically, I mean, the parishioners that don't have children in our school, some of our older parishioners who could probably tell you what's going on in every classroom in our school mm-hmm. and could tell you exactly what my thoughts are on just about any topic. And that, to me, is just so incredible. What other school has that benefit of having the elders in the community and the larger community so invested in what's going on in the school? I mean, really, the health of the school is the health of the parish, and it's a dynamic relationship that goes back and forth. So I really have to tell you how encouraged I am sometimes, and I'm sure this happens in other Catholic schools where the parishioners are just as invested in the school as the parents and the children are themselves.
Well, and I agree with you. There's that certain amount of transparencies in parishes and schools themselves where they, although their children have grown up and gone away, or actually some of them are coming back. Having their children in our schools, which is very exciting, they are remembering a time when it was very different. And that's a conversation you and I had about 3 or 4 years ago where I, having been a lifelong parishioner of St. Thomas the Apostle, said that this is where my parents' social life was, whether it was theater crafters or whether it was bingo on Wednesday nights or whether it was pancake suppers on Monday night. Or it was parish picnics out at Townsend Park. This is where my family socialized. And then again, and I hate to keep harping on it, but we all stepped away. I remember as a college graduate, I can't wait to move as far away as I possibly can because it's going to be so exciting and it's going to be so interesting and it's going to be so different and all of that. And it was, and all in good time. But when I went to raising my family, or thinking about a place where I'd like to raise my family, St. Thomas, in our case, and in other people's case, their own home parishes, that's where I wanted to come back to. But those people, those elders that you've talked about that are reading our bulletin, they've been here the whole time. And we must not forget their influence, their intelligence, their experience, everything that they bring to the table, because they were there when it was vibrant. They were there when things were not always in our Catholic schools as they're emerging to be right now. And they have a huge say in all of that. So I agree totally with
you. Yeah, they do. And there's a certain investment as well that parishioners have in a school, a financial investment. But also an investment in prayer and in wanting that school to do well. You know, we had talked in the beginning about how community certainly affects children in my area, of course.
Your area of expertise.
Oh, boy. I don't know about that. My area of intent, I suppose, when I was a teacher was in fifth grade. And now as principal, I oversee the entire school and spend a great deal of time both in the elementary and middle school. But I have to say that the idea of community with children of that age is just critical. I don't know how a non-faith-based school builds that. You can build friendships and you can build relationships, but community is a little different. I think, you know, in a community you live and breathe similarly. And with that, with our Catholic faith being the center of everything we do, with it being what we fall back on when we are struggling, when it is what we run to when we're celebrating, when it becomes between us when we hold hands or hug each other or comfort each other, I don't know how you would do that in a public school. I'm not saying that public schools don't have that sense of love, but the kind of community we're talking about, this really, really intense, very personal kind of community, I think only can happen with our faith involved. And for young children, when they're just beginning, we're talking first grade through, say, fifth grade, and they're just learning how to relate to one another, to be able to use our faith as the language that we use back and forth, to be able to talk about our Catholic virtues, to be able to talk about how Christ treated his friends and his friendships. That's a unique kind of training, friendship training, community training that we're able to deliver. And you certainly see it in our classrooms.
Oh, absolutely. And as an educator myself, I always use that whenever we have a difficulty or a choice that perhaps was not one of the better ones. We have that God conversation because I think that's so important, because that is what we are made of. That's our faith. But also, along with what you're saying with the public schools and the Catholic schools, and again, I'm sure there are communities within the public schools, but what they don't have that we as Catholic educators have is the opportunity to be with our children 5 days a week and then sit next to them in the pew on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it's so different because guess what? Mom and dad are sitting there too, or siblings are sitting there. And suddenly you look around the church and you realize that the people that are in that church, a good percentage of them are in your class or in your building. Mm-hmm. And wow, what are we all doing here? And in a fourth grader's mind or in a third grader's mind or even in an eighth grader's mind, that's, you're putting two and two together and realizing that this is strong, powerful stuff that builds our community.
Yeah. And how many times a student will come up to you and, you know, little children believe we as teachers live at school because Monday through
Friday. We believe
Friday,
we do too.
Monday through Friday, we're there early before they get there. We're there when they leave. And then they come back to church on Sunday. And, hey, frankly, we've never left, you know. So for them, we solidify what the gospel message is on Sunday because it travels really through our week. You know, quite often Father Jim Chelich, our pastor, during our school masses will refer to the gospel message from that Sunday, or will, in his homily on Sunday, echo something that he said on Friday at our school mass. And there's some continuity there as well for our students.
Let's talk about, though, some of the words that you use as a principal for community. I know that we pray several times a day, if you want to expand mm-hmm. on that. But that language, just what you're talking about, that our parish priest, Father Jim Chelich, uses, you use on a daily basis. So
certainly.
Why don't you outline a typical day
cool.
in our community?
Okay, for our community, many of our parents drop their children off at school versus the school bus. We do have a bus. And some of the children come to the school on the bus, and it actually arrives way before school starts because we also take the children after they've been dropped off at Catholic Central. So we've got children arriving very early, and they typically hang out in the office with Sue Zassi, our secretary, and I. But once the day begins, Liz Peters, our assistant principal, and I go out to the parking lot, and we open the door of every car and invite every child in, usually with a lot of hugs. And sometimes I get little presents. Here, take this wrapper. No. Coffee, whatever. But it's a lovely greeting time for us. And then the children come back to behind our school where another teacher is, and they socialize a little bit there. Once the bell rings, Liz and I and all the teachers that are out there gather together. And sometimes all we have to do is hold our hand up. They know what's coming next. And the playground that is just alive with children and cheerful noises suddenly silences itself Really, nobody has to say anything. We just hold our hand up. They know what's coming next. And so there's this great silence across this large area behind our school. A lot of times there's parents dropping off for preschool or for kindergarten, and they'll stop in their tracks. Quite often, parents will just hang out to witness what happens next. But then we begin the Our Father as a school together, and you can hear a pin drop. Outside.
Absolutely, and I can attest to that. And oftentimes, as I'm glancing out the window because I'm greeting preschoolers into the building, our students are holding hands.
Oh, yeah, many of them holding hands. So here you have this moment of community prayer before we ever even enter the building, and everyone comes in quietly and smiling versus starting the day in a big uproar. And we shake the hands of every one of our children as they walk through the door, greet them, you know, right personally every morning, so they start off on a good step. Within the classrooms, then we have our morning announcements, and we have prayer again. We pray together a school-wide prayer. This year it was the St. Michael, the Archangel prayer. And then we follow that with a devotion from Jesus Calling and a minute of silence. And we love that minute of silence. You can walk down our halls. The phones don't even dare ring.
Exactly.
We'll have guests come into the building. Sure. We'll have guests or parents drop off their children. And the minute they walk in the door, they can hear the silence and stop dead in their tracks. Everyone stops no matter what they're doing. And we do take that minute to just pray, to just be with the Lord.
And almost center oneself for the day ahead.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's definitely very important. We know that during the day, our students are working hard. We're pushing them quickly. They're going from one thing to the next. Learning's not an easy thing. So we break up time with prayerful moments. So after lunch, the children have been outside. They've eaten. They come in and they're full of energy. We center them again by doing the Angelus at 12:30, and we have third graders that lead the Angelus.
And if I might interrupt for one moment, that is one of my most favorite times of the day, because I have been with little ones all morning long, and life is very busy when you're with little ones. And then I come down to shift my focus, and I always find myself saying, oh, no, I'm walking in right now, and I have this to do and this to do. And then I hear that begin, and that's my centering moment. It's such a, then I am able to embrace, remind myself, not embrace, remind myself what we're doing, what our whole purpose is.
And those little third graders are just adorable that lead it. There's always three, and they discuss in length before they begin who does what.
Exactly.
I'm going to introduce. I'm going to say thank you at the end.
Right. And have a nice day.
Have a nice day. That's right. But while they're praying it, they're just so serious, and they know that that's their role of leadership right then and there. They're leading their school in the Angelus. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then we again end at the end of the day with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which our seventh graders lead. So we couch the day with prayer, but community prayer. And I just think there's some power in that when the entire school stops what they're doing, stops in their tracks, and gathers together in prayer. It's just powerful.
Well, especially if you don't mind my saying, because we're all, if you can envision a beehive, and we're all in our little catacombs, you know, of our classrooms, and what's going on in first grade isn't the same thing going on in seventh grade, and yet that's exactly your purpose. You say, we are all coming together, because regardless of what room you're in the building, regardless of what you're learning at that particular moment, it's our community. And that's a midday reminder. I so admire that. I think that's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, a funny side here is I was walking down the hall one day, and the students were doing that minute of silence, you know, and it was just dead silence. And then when they finished, you know, they make the sign of the cross to indicate the minute's over in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As soon as they said that, you could hear toilets flushing in the bathrooms. All these small children that found themselves in the bathrooms in that morning held off, and it was silent until the end. So we do take it very, very seriously. And I think that's really important, especially looking at our middle schoolers. Our middle schoolers just need that so badly. What a time of life. You know, what a time for them to be teenagers. Now, you and I have discussed, Betsy, so many times, how technology is impacting our kids. It's very positive. There's some wonderful things that are happening with technology, but we're seeing more and more anxiety. But these children's brains just don't shut off. Mm-hmm. They're either hooked on, they're switching pages, they're flipping through, they're answering emails that can go right from there to texting quick. Everything's very, very quick. They go home at night, they plug into their iPod. Their brain just never shuts down.
Right.
Everything is instantaneous and quick. So you've got children with a lot of technology. We're noticing that their social skills are starting to slip. You know, no one thinks of picking up the phone and making a phone call anymore, mm-hmm. because they'll either text or they'll send an email. It's just very quick. We notice, too, that with our middle school students, the pressure on them to succeed. We try very hard not to pressure them in our schools, but look at society right now. It's getting harder and harder and more expensive to get into colleges. So our students are thinking years ahead of where they need to be living in the moment and filled with stress about it. Mm-hmm. So having a community around you where prayer is the focus, where Christ says, you know, bring me your troubles, knock and I shall answer. You know, I'm standing at the door of your heart. Father brings that up a lot in our masses. Just, I'm standing at the door. All I could do is let me in. Mm-hmm. And our children living and breathing that in community every day. What a blessing for that troubled time to have.
I could not agree more. And jumping ahead for just one moment, you and I shared an unusual experience of a very large graduating eighth grade class.
Mm-hmm, 45.
Yes, that was wonderful. And they were a delightful group of individuals who could at times get caught up in exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Exactly, with the busyness of life, because it's flying by at warp speed. Mm-hmm. And they were reminded in their final days. So you want to share a little bit about that?
Oh, I'd love to. Delightful, delightful group.
Absolutely. Very, very creative group of individuals. And I had them, which was kind of fun, as little ones, 3 and 4 and 5 years old, and to watch them grow into the leaders that they are. But ever mindful, and that's my whole point of asking you about it, because I think you raise a really, really good point, Susie, and that is, you know what? They're not adults. We believe 100% in leadership formation. We embrace them as the students, the intelligent academic students that they are, and of course our faith community. But let us never forget that they're 13 and 14 years old.
Yes.
And that's still, in my world, I'm a child. So, but go ahead and explain the last couple of days.
No, Betsy, the point that you just made is critical. Mm-hmm. At our school, they're the oldest.
Right.
And in many of their families, they're the oldest. And they desperately want to be mature.
All that and more.
Oh, then, yes, and then some. they definitely want that. But deep down inside, they also want to be kids.
Exactly.
They really do.
And they discovered that.
Discovered it on the last day. This is a group that just went through middle school, just full of energy, didn't need anybody. You know,
on fire all the time.
Delightful group of kids. Mm-hmm. And the last couple of weeks of school, I reminded them at graduation, you know, the last couple of weeks of school, I'd walk down the hall and I'd hear, oh, somebody slam a locker. 3 more days and we're out of here. Mm-hmm. Keeping in mind that many of them had been together since they were in 3-year-old preschool. Mm-hmm. So that's 11 years with the same group of people.
Exactly.
Very little movement. Once somebody comes into the school, typically we don't lose them. So mm-hmm. if you came in at 3-year-old preschool, more than likely in eighth grade, you're with the same group of kids. So 11 years, slamming the doors, walking down the hall. Oh, they couldn't wait to be out. But that last day of school, on their last day, they were sobbing. Mm-hmm. I mean, kids you would never expect.
Right.
Tears running down their faces. Teachers reporting to me all day, you would never believe what just happened. So-and-so, who I haven't really had a great conversation with since fourth grade, came flying in the room and threw their arms around me and sobbed how much they're going to miss me. We had one student who walked into a classroom, told all the students to put their pencils down, and in sobbing voice said, you just appreciate this teacher because you can't believe how quickly time goes. And the teacher was floored.
Right.
That whole day, it was like it hit them.
It did, and I had about half a dozen to actually to a dozen of them over the course of the day come down looking all that and more as the young leaders that they are and entering into high school and leaving our realm saying, I remember my first day with you. Exactly. They
sure.
really truly, because they're leaving a community, getting back
right.
to the whole topic. And yes, they're entering into a brand new community, but the beauty that they don't realize because of their age is that they're still going to be there Sunday morning sitting in those pews.
Sure they will.
And they'll smile as they see the children's choir because now they get to be the older who
right.
reflect back on, I remember when I was in second grade and was in the children's choir or whatever. But they look at it from a totally different thing. But that's the beauty of our faith community, because although they're leaving one building and going to another, we never really let go of them. They just don't know that yet.
No. In fact, I tell all of them, I'll see you all in about 10 years.
Exactly.
Hoping that once they've gotten through school, gotten married, and start having children, they come right back
right.
to St. Thomas.
And we've had several that have.
And we have many that have. In fact, we've got teachers that graduated, went away to college. And we have one teacher that just became part of our faculty. So the full circle, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a very telling day for those children. And I think graduation the following week, they still weeping, you know, they still realized it suddenly hit them.
Mm-hmm.
This community that I've been such an important part of is now going to be behind me. I'm moving on to a new community.
And that's what a community does for people, just as
right.
you said earlier, which again, for me, as a person looking at you doing these things, and I really would, if there's not Catholic schools that do some of the things that you as a leader do, I challenge them to take notes of our time today, because insisting that they shake your hands as they enter the school,
mm-hmm.
you embracing them at the car line and welcoming them, you and Liz doing so many of the things that you do, whether it's a discipline situation where you pray together.
Right, we do.
Whether you say we have additional time here in school, so let's go to the Adoration Chapel, you know, whatever it might be, I believe that as they were exiting on that Wednesday evening graduation, they were forever grateful, because when you're going through those things, you never really are happy about it. You don't like your hemline of your uniform skirt or that your socks have to be a certain way, but that levels the playing field and they
sure.
don't realize that. But I think as they were exiting, as often graduating classes do, and certainly if it didn't hit them Wednesday night, it's going to hit them in a year or two wherever they go to high school, and that is that you laid for them a bar that they hope to continue to hurdle.
And boy, I sure hope so.
I know so. I know so. I have two graduates from St. Thomas in my family, and I know that they, and in their ripe old ages of 24 and 26, so someone do the math out there and figure out how old I am, but not that old.
Child bride.
Exactly. But to be very honest with you, they often reflect back on
right.
their foundation at St. Thomas. And I'm so proud of that, because they learned how to be part of God's family, even as young adults now.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is beautiful about a faith community is that we're modeling for our young how a faith community acts, how we fall back on our faith. And I know right after lunch, every day I have visitors to my office.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the form of children who are wringing their hands because they kind of lost sight of things out on the playground. And there's been at least a couple of situations where I really didn't have an answer. I really didn't. The answer wasn't coming to me on how to respond to the student, how to best move forward. And I had to be honest with them and teach them that this is how you handle things when you don't know what the answer is, and had to simply say, I'm going to send you back to your classroom right now because I need to go pray. I need to go pray on this. I'm not sure what to say to you at this point, or I'm not sure how to handle this situation. The first time I did that, it was out of sheer honesty and because I just clearly did not know where to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, I'm very glad I took that step to do that, because what it told the student, I hope, what they took away from that is even adults don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. And when something comes up and you don't have the answer, then you need to resort to what comes natural, and that is prayer. Take the time to step away and pray. Mm-hmm. There's been other times where I've had a student, I won't mention any names here, but the student will know who I'm, we still joke about it, was in my office, and he was fired up about something that had happened, and I was trying to discipline, trying to remediate the situation, and the angrier he got, the more belligerent he got, and the I started to feel my temperature rise, and I remember simply saying, you know what, you need to go home. This isn't a suspension. You just need to go home. I can't have you in front of me today. And you can't be, I'm clearly instigating some anger in you. We need to be apart. We need to allow each other some time and set time tomorrow morning to come in and talk. This is not disciplinary. This is a breathing space that we both need. Mm-hmm. The rest of your day is not going to go well if you stay. Mm-hmm. And if you stay, the rest of mine won't go well. Exactly. So we agreed to part ways. Dad came and picked him up and chuckled a little bit when I explained why he was going home, but understood completely. And we've talked about that since as being a defining moment in our relationship, because it was a way that I showed him our community doesn't just act. We think first, we pray. And I prayed long and hard about that one. And indeed, when the next morning when we came back together, we'd had time to cool off, had time to put everything in perspective, and had a great conversation. And to this day, I still have a great deal of respect for the young man. So,
and I think you raise a really good point there, Susie, and that is community. Community sees the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And it
seriously,
does. It does.
Seriously. And I believe that our parents who make the choice to commit to Catholic education are making a choice to commit to a community.
Mm-hmm. They're all in.
They're all in. And we see that. And again, I challenge other schools, and I do that in a very respectful way. If you do not have these things in your Catholic school, think about it. Visit other Catholic schools, because we take great pride in the parent volunteerism, the participation, the ownership that they have, whether dads or moms or grandmas or grandpas. Mm-hmm. You know, they are, by sending their child to school, they're not dropping them off at 7:30 in the morning and picking them up at 3:30 in the afternoon. They are involved. And
yep, just invested.
Just as you said about that dad a moment ago, he probably has dealt with moments like that with this young man several times at home. And to have another adult say, you need to take a step back. What a marvelous lesson that children learn when other adults are saying the same thing your mom and dad are saying, you know.
And I know this is happening all over. I've got friends that are principals in Catholic schools, and we quite often will hop on the phone as soon as the child's out of the office and call each other and say, okay, how would you have handled this?
Right.
Or, you know, what do I say to this parent when I give them a call? And they're doing the same things. I think when it comes down to your faith, that isn't something that you have alone. It isn't something that you hone alone. Your response to your faith, whether it be to good things or to bad things, whether it be to grow your school or it be to grow your family, your response to your faith is something that is community. Mm-hmm. It all is community. We don't have our faith by ourselves. We have it in community. Mm-hmm. So I think, that's a beautiful thing about Catholic schools. It's a fabulous asset that we have to offer out there and to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked a lot about, we joke about the village raising the children, because some days certainly it feels like there is a village in our school, and you can walk down the halls and you see moms helping people, helping little children read, and their toddlers are tearing apart the uniform closet, or you see their whole toy box brought in a bag and it's spewed out all across the floor.
Saw that recently.
I know, and no one thinks anything of it because it is that community that's there. Can you talk a little bit about the village that's raising our children, that concept of parents being in the building and volunteerism?
Well, I believe Catholic schools, I want to answer that, but let me step back for one moment and say just another point on what you were saying about it's not, community is not, or our faith is not just part of ourselves. And another way that is mirrored in the Catholic schools is the teachers, the faculty and staff, that children and adults are observing, embracing one another. Whether a teacher comes down to announce that all of their students passed whatever test with A's or with a passing grade, or whether it is a flat tire outside somewhere, the children see that we are there for each other. They see teachers and staff members hugging each other, holding each other's hand briefly, celebrating the joys, and right there praying through the sorrows. And I think that that too makes parents more vested, because we're not singularly in our rooms doing our jobs, unconcerned with what goes on in the hallways or beyond. So I'm very comfortable talking. So that brings us to the parent participation. Very comfortable and actually thrilled to discuss how parents are a part of the community, an integral part of the Catholic school community. We have parents who are on the playground, parents who are reading buddies, parents who are in the lunchrooms, parents who are center helpers at the early childhood level, parents who are working in the office. They embody our Catholic faith through their service. And what do we call it at St. Thomas? We call it servant leadership. We are serving the Lord through serving our schools. And I have been amazed at, I believe we have 98% parent participation, whether, again, referencing, if it's an outdoor movie night on our front lawn where I've had a mom popping popcorn all afternoon for
in the heat.
In the heat. Exactly, and saying, no, I'm fine. Just a bottle of water, please. Or an end-of-the-year party up at the park with the second graders where they're playing, dodgeball or something. We see parents in every aspect, whether they're donating for a particular event or whether they're donating of their time or their goods for a particular event. They're the whole support. And children see that. And I remember vividly my mom in the school office at our school. I remember vividly being asked my sisters to stuff the bulletin on Saturday mornings.
Sure.
Those are the fabric of our lives. Those moments, because I don't know about you, but in my ripe old age, I only have snapshots of different things, you know, that all come together to put that puzzle all together. All the pieces fall in. And I remember my dad pushing the broom on the gym floors in between games because he was a booster. Parents are, they make what our community is. And we could not be the community we are without their help and support, because they deliver unto our children the exact same message that we as teachers do with our Catholic faith.
Yeah, and community, a Catholic community is a community of service. That's part of what we believe and part of what we live. Mm-hmm. And so many of our parents are literally in service to the children or to the teachers throughout the day in Catholic schools. We couldn't run our schools without them, I don't think.
No, absolutely.
And wouldn't want to.
For them, it is their life's work at that particular time. You know, I've watched hug our school secretary, especially this summer, because I've had the opportunity to be in the office more this year. They are sad that the school year is ending and they aren't going to be answering the phone anymore, and they can't wait to come back. I'll be available on this day, or I could do this. But you're exactly right. It's servant leadership.
Servant.
They are modeling, just as we as teachers are and you as a principal are, they're modeling for our children. Don't just take, give.
Right.
And that's what our faith tells us to do. And Father Jim would have a remarkable quote for that. So it's just giving is what we are as community members supposed to do for each other.
Yeah. And there's a great deal of vulnerability, I think, in a Catholic community, too. I was just recalling we had a parent this year lost a baby. Mm-hmm. Remember, I think she was maybe 6 months along and she lost the baby. And just the entire community, when that loss was announced, embraced it and mourned. And even the children, you know, we had a request that that baby be our guardian angel. So we took that baby's name as we pray every morning to that little baby. And that instigated the creation of a guardian angel wall with the names of babies that have been born prematurely or that didn't make it in a book. And you know, things like the vulnerability that a Catholic community has, then we lay it there for everybody to see. We share in each other's sorrows. Everything isn't always smiling perfect. Everything isn't always bright and sunny, happy. Mm-hmm. During the school day, there are days and there are times where it truly is a moment that we need sorrow or we need compassion, and it's there. Looking in our school at the number of individuals who would not be welcomed in other schools. We've got a couple of parents that are have disabilities who are just embraced and rolled in wheelchairs to be a part of the community, whether it's reading books in the library or it's just hanging out in the hallway. We've got students that are or young adults who are sons and daughters of some of our faculty members who have cognitive disabilities, who in other schools or in other communities probably would have a place where they would be with other children who have, say, Down syndrome. These children are embraced in our school community and are a valued and valuable part of who we are, and our students embrace them like they would embrace anybody else and respect them and love them the way they would love anybody else. And I think in a Catholic community, you see that pungently. You know, I mean, it's mm-hmm. like it hits you. You walk in the door and you see things you wouldn't see in another kind of community. And it's all done with great love.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think you hit the nail on the head right there with that statement that we're all different. We come mm-hmm. we come looking different, sounding different, acting or behaving different. Just something you said made me think a moment ago. There's a little one who had some learning differences, mm-hmm. and it can be frazzling as a parent because you believe to the core that no one else is experiencing what you are. And the beauty of a Catholic community is not only the embracing of, let me listen to you, let, right. you know, please vent to us, share with us, how can we embrace you and help you through this, but also others who say, I share the same situation, or mm-hmm. I feel the same way, or I've been through that. You know, you're exactly right. There are some differences that we all bring to the table. And that's what a community does, and especially a Catholic school community. It's okay. Everybody can, you know, just kick off their shoes and understand that our socks are all different colors and styles. But you know what? They're all socks.
Right.
So I just, that's what I love so much about working in a Catholic school, that we don't all look or act the same. But you know what? We all have one commonality, and that's God.
Right. I have the luxury of getting around from classroom to classroom every day. And I miss teaching terribly. You know that.
Yes, I do know that. But I do still support Holy, because you are teaching all of us, whether we're children or adults, every day, whether it's modeling behavior or conversation, whatever. Please know you are in the right place, and I mean that sincerely.
I have moments where I wonder, because I get into classrooms and I'm just I'm living back then in the moment. But the beautiful thing is when you walk in prayer time, every teacher does it differently, but we've got a couple of teachers that it is. It's awe-inspiring how vulnerable they are, where they pray with their heart just open, and you can hear the pain and some of the things that they're going through or the prayers that they're asking. And then their children, you know, talk to God. I mean, they just talk, and things are laid before Him, and painful things. You'll see kids wiping their eyes, and I think you know the teacher I'm speaking of. Mm-hmm. It's just... Oh, I mean, that's the true sense that community is at work and that it is healthy, mm-hmm. is when students of a fourth or fifth grade age group, you know, that's 10 years old, mm-hmm. 10 years old, can openly pray to God in front of their classmates and ask for something, you know, be thankful for something that happened, or just to say, I'm scared about this, or I'm worried about that, or please help me with this. But it's from the heart. The fact that tears can be a part of a prayer ceremony that happens every single day. Mm-hmm. Think of how rich that is in that child's school experience, how rich that is in their faith life. What an example that sets at such a tender time in their life, mm-hmm. for what to do when they get older and you know, they have a problem like a flat tire or a baby who doesn't sleep at night, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And I see it just with you saying that, having had the privilege to be at our all-school masses on a regular basis, so you have everything from a 4-year-old all the way up to a 14-year-old, and then, of course, all the parents and community there as well. But as each teacher brings their class in, they all turn and kneel, and they say a prayer briefly outside the Adoration Chapel. And you're exactly right. The teachers all do it in very different ways, but it's the same thread. It's the same thread through everyone.
Yes.
And that's what, with children in Catholic education, is the key right there. It's the same thread of, Mrs. Furtwängler says it one way, and my mom says it another way, and my teacher says it this way, but doggone it, if I break it all apart, we're all talking about God.
Right.
We're all talking about our faith. This must be something worth me listening to. And what they used to say years and years ago in the old marketing world is, you have to tell someone something 9 times before they actually implant that bit of information and think about looking at it. I mean, they haven't even really looked at it. They're just like, ha, this has been repeated to me. I better check it out. Now, I believe, and I'm not exaggerating, you have to do something like that 300 times.
Wow.
And that is literally because, as you were saying way earlier in our conversation, it's flipping by as fast as, you know, as fast as a star blazing through the sky. And because we all say it over and over and over again at school, at the car line, on the parking lot, at prayer at lunchtime, by the lunchroom mom, the playground mom, or your own mom right at home, or your dad, or whatever, we're all embracing and talking about the same thing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And taking that thread and taking it just a little bit further, as fast as the world is moving right now, and probably every generation says this,
right.
But truly, with the advent of iPads where you can just swipe from one little section to the next, to games that go fast. Everything is on such high speed right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even just the community taking value in a minute, a full minute of silence.
Exactly.
Where we slow down, we actually put the skids on. It's just silence for a Catholic community to value that minute of, it's just me and the Lord.
Well, and I was challenged once by a parent who said, how can you compete with the internet? How, because my son or my daughter at a very young age, you know, they're on the Wii in the morning and then they're on their computer in the afternoon and then we have a video in the car on the way here. So with you standing right up in front of them, you're kind of boring.
Yeah,
and
right.
You're like, holy cow, you know, my goodness. But when you take the challenge of, I am bringing that individual piece. We use technology. We optimize technology in all of our Catholic schools, but we teach responsible. You know, we teach responsibility with technology. But to take that 1 minute, which you do several times a day in our community as a school, let's center ourselves. That's the only word I can continue to keep coming back to, because I am a harried person. I'm always in a rush. I'm always calling you on my cell phone saying, I'm 10 minutes out and I'll be there. I'll make it to you, Susie. But I need you to know that that prayerful time, even with a person as old and as who thinks they know everything, has learned over the last few years that that is my community time too. And listening to those third graders at lunchtime saying the Angelus, I stop typing on that computer and I focus in on the whole point. Why are we together? And I so appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there is a competition, because we can go about our daily lives and be who we are, but to be reminded so often in so many ways through prayer, through servitude, that we are a community, I think it really gives a person a self-worth, a wholeness.
Right. And in conversing with kids in a disciplinary way, it's nice, too, to be able to begin with that centering, with that prayer, and then be able to talk about, quite often I will refer to a situation in terms of how Christ might have reacted. For instance, you know, when you have a student that was excluding somebody else on the playground quite often, I'll say, do you think that there were some people that perhaps Jesus hung out with on a daily basis that were irritating? Mm-hmm. And of course, mm-hmm. they've got to say yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, was there people that hung out with him that were very different or who were dirty or who maybe had more energy than he did and drove him nuts? Of course he did. So how do you picture him handling it? And quite often we can come around to an understanding that in our faith-filled community, we just don't treat people that way. And often the conversation doesn't need to go any further than that. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about, you know, how do we make this right? How would Christ have made this right? He would have apologized. He would have made sure that everything was good. He would have owned it, you know, owned
exactly.
what had happened.
Exactly.
He would have made sure it was right. And then he wouldn't have done it again. Of course. So we're able to draw in our community from the Bible, from talking about Jesus, from prayer. Mm-hmm. Coming back to prayer and coming back to relationship with a relationship with each other, with being, you know, the body of Christ. How do we operate together so that the body stays intact, the body is healthy? Community is just so much more than just, let's see, what did Wikipedia say here? A social unit of any size that shares common values. Boy, I think We're a community on steroids in Catholic schools.
I totally agree, because mine said, remember again, the process of deep respect and true listening for the needs of others.
Right.
And I totally agree with you. I think that how we own it, how we use it, and you were just talking about, you know, Jesus hanging out with some that might have irritated him at times. How would he have dealt with them? But we always, too, and I know you do as well, reflect on if a wrong has been done to you by a community member, and that community member says, hey, by the way, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have probably done that. It takes another community member to mm-hmm. say, I forgive you.
Yes, and mean it.
Exactly.
And
not walk away carrying grudges.
And to be able, yes, and to be able to talk about what does it mean when you forgive, you know?
Exactly. So, well, with that, we have just a prayer, and I'd like you, if you wouldn't, I'll read that for us, if you wouldn't mind
sure,
that I read that.
I would love that.
Thank you very much, because it's one that is very fond to me. I was quite athletic back in the day, and
you
having
still
attended,
are.
Well, I pretend, but having been a member not only of a school community, but then representing that school community on many different playing fields, and we always said this, and whenever I hear this prayer, I always think community, because they were my teammates. They
right.
were my they were my community. I had it all day in the classroom, and then we were out on the court.
Sure.
And so I'd like to say this prayer, and then you can close us out after. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer them. Amen.
Wow. Perfect for this conversation today.
I hope so. Thank you.
Yes.
hope so.
Well, we've really enjoyed having time to talk about community, and in Catholic schools especially. We invite all of you listeners out there, if you are contemplating a Catholic school, to make it a point to get into several. We've got excellent Catholic schools in the Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo Diocese with people that share that community love of Christ, of their faith, that ooze it and scream it from every pore in their body.
Absolutely.
And whose sole mission for the day is to extend that community outward and to draw you in. So if you feel called by the Spirit to visit a Catholic school today, please make sure you do. And if you are a member of a Catholic school, know how much you are appreciated and how much you are valued as part of the community there.
thank you, and I totally agree. Please take a moment to think about joining a Catholic school community if you're not in one now. I think you will be amazed at perhaps what you've been missing and what you've needed in your life. And I applaud all of those schools and parishes across the Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids Diocese that are doing a phenomenal job with their communities, because we are laying for the foundation for lifelong love of our Catholic faith.
And providing a very safe and nurturing community to grow children in. Thanks for joining us on Unapologetically Catholic, and have a great day.
And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.